Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, John Yurkovich in the building.
I'm in the building.
You are in the building, Yurko.
I'm in the building.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm living the dream. I'm still here.
We're both living
I'm
something.
Alive. Yep. You know what I mean? Cicadas are screaming. I saw a video yesterday of a friend of mine in the Filipino culture. Uh-huh. Her grandmother brought over a bag of cicadas, uh-huh, fried them up real nice, threw some salt on them, and was popping them in.
Some people are comfortable. Some people are comfortable eating insects, you know, every 17 years.
It threw me off.
Yeah. Hey, whatever floats people's boats.
I just sent the
message.
I
like lamb. Some people don't like lamb. You know, I like lamb. People don't like lamb.
Have you ever done the insect thing? Have you ever eaten? No. I did chocolate covered cricket once.
Nothing.
It was salty.
Yeah,
That's all I can say.
I'm not here for the bugs.
I'm not. Yeah, I don't like the legs. I'm not a leg guy.
I don't like the bugs. You know, some might say shrimp is the bug of the sea.
That is true. Do you mess with shrimp?
But shrimp is delicious.
Shrimp is delicious. Yeah, so shrimp, you can never.
And it's meaty. Crawfish. You ever have crawfish?
Oh yeah, take the head.
Yeah,
take that head straight off. Yeah.
There you go.
What's the best crawfish?
Down in Louisiana, that's where I had the best crawfish. You asked me what's the best crawfish.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a brand.
No. I mean, I guess where? Yeah, where is the best crawfish?
Louisiana got a 60 pound bag, and we had a nice little crawfish boil.
Yeah,
it was delicious. Had potatoes, corn, garlic, all types of stuff coming out of there, and it was good.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In New Orleans, they know how to do it right. You know.
Oh, that's exactly where I had it at. It was a phenomenal show.
Across Lake Pontchartrain in Covington, Louisiana.
Covington,
Louisiana. Okay. Yeah. The home of, Hank Stram. Hank Stram had a beautiful place right on the river down there.
Ooh.
Looked like a mansion. It was absolutely glorious.
Yeah, you'd probably get it for a good price down there, too. I love those southern home prices.
When he bought it, he probably got one hell of a price.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess he had been down there for a while.
No.
He had worked with CBS or with NBC, one of those two TV stations, because he was doing a lot of stuff on television, doing games.
The more you know. Let's talk some football, good kid.
Let's not talk about eating bugs. I don't
bugs. You're not feeling the cicada, the fried cicadas. That was the one.
Not at all.
I've never seen something throw you off like that. That was the one.
Well, I don't eat bugs. I'll never eat bugs.
ESPN dropped their NFL Football Power Index for 2024. This is the holy grail of football, as it's been described.
They're ranking the teams.
Ranking the teams. They're giving their percentages on basically where they think teams are going to end up, and they do not feel good about the Chicago Bears this season.
My statement originally, and my statement's going to go forever, I got the Bears winning 11 games. Winning 11 games can still put you third in your own division.
Yes, it can.
So, I mean, I put that out there. Now, so if everybody, they're going to finish third in the division, they could finish third and win 11 games.
Yes,
remember
they
that. They can finish, win 10 games and finish third. Because I do have Detroit kind of doing what they did last year. You can have 13, 12, and 11 in this division, and you still end up finishing third. So I'm not worried about where they finish within their division.
Right.
I'm worrying about them making the playoffs, and I'm worried about them playing the kind of football they need to play and the development of the quarterback.
Absolutely.
So that's what I worry about. So I don't know what ESPN has them ranked at. Every year they make mistakes, but I'm more than happy to sit and listen and comment on what ESPN says.
I think it coincides with what you said. Right now, playoff percentage chance, they give them a 41% chance.
To
go to the playoffs, a 41% chance.
It's better than last year.
It's better than last year. Winning the division, the Bears have a 13% chance. They have no belief that the Bears can win the division.
I don't have a belief that the Bears can win the division. So I don't believe they can.
Okay.
I believe that so you win think, double-digit you
think
games.
You think we have a 13-game winner in this division?
13
this
or 12. Could be two 12s. 12 and 5.
Packers
and,
Lions. They're
And until you beat the Packers, I'm not predicting a game that they
absolutely
beat the Packers. You've got to beat them
I'm with you on
before
that.
I believe you could beat them. Right now, both of the Packer games, I got losses. I got them beating Detroit, Minnesota twice, and splitting with Detroit.
I actually got them beaten Detroit twice. I got them beaten Minnesota. I think I got them beaten Minnesota twice because I thought they handled Detroit very well last season. I thought they, outside of and a preposterous blunder at the end of a game where I think me and you both doing the post-game show here on ESPN, we're sitting here getting ready to talk about a Bears dominant win, and all of a sudden we're sitting here at the end of the game going,
what happened?
How the heck did we get here? They handled Detroit for six and a half or seven and a half out of eight quarters.
They played Detroit well.
There's something. What is the same way? What is that? What is it to have somebody's number like that?
Well, I mean, the Packers have the Bears' numbers.
Absolutely.
We have their numbers. It hasn't resulted in victories, but we play well against them. Sometimes you just match up against the team well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it works. I think the Bears match up well against what Detroit tries to do. They don't have a dominant quarterback. We get enough pressure against them to cause Jared Goff to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
They're not wonderfully effective against the Chicago Bears. And hopefully our defense can step up this year and minimize what they do. But, you know, they're not a big believer in running backs. They've cycled through running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs, they wasted a first-round pick on. He's effective. Montgomery's effective. But, you know, both of them are inexpensive, and they'll cycle through their running backs once again to where they'll find two new guys once these guys mature. Receivers, they've made an investment in. Tight end Laporta.
Yeah.
They got rid of Hockenson and got some stuff back when Minnesota felt like they had something going on over there. And now he'll be gone for the first month of the season, which only helps the Chicago Bears. Problem is, the Bears don't get to play Minnesota early in the season.
It's true. A lot of people look at Detroit as a team that could possibly take a step back. You've been on the teams that have made the playoffs. And how do you avoid taking that step back? How do you avoid I guess that playoff hangover a little bit, I guess that's the word that they use.
I've only been on teams that built, like, you know, we went 9-7 three straight years in Green Bay.
Right.
And then we went to 11-5. Then they went to 13-3. So I was gone when they went to 13-3. Mm. So I was on teams that were building and got to the certain point. With Jacksonville, we went 9-7. I think we went 10-something. And then 11-5, we ended up going in my third year there. Then the next year, 99, they were 14-2. And they ended up losing to Tennessee. They lost to Tennessee three times in the same season.
That's tough.
Yeah, twice at home.
So talk about a team having your number right there. That's a team having your number right there.
Jeff Fisher said that he had 10 or 10 home games, the two games that they won at Whatchamacallit. So he used to chide, he used to get after Coughlin a little bit. So they used to go after each other just a bit. No, but I mean, I don't know. What do they have predicted? You said 14%. You said this. Do they come out with a power ranking?
Do they
come out with an expected record?
They have the Bears winning. I don't know how this works. Basically 8.5 games, right? So 8-9 games. So, that is their projection
now.
They
didn't come out with a prediction.
No.
They came out with crap.
Yeah.
I go to Vegas to find out half games and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't come to ESPN for that.
Right.
I come to ESPN to go for a prediction. What is your model predicting? Your model can't predict 8.5 games. There are no half games. So what are you wasting my time for? Not you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about ESPN.
Yeah.
Why waste my time? I'm in the real world. The real world doesn't have half games. The real world only has games. So what is it? What are you coming with? Where are you at? It's like ESPN did all the work and came up with 8.5 games. No, you didn't. You just followed what the fuck Vegas was doing. Come on. You're wasting my time. Give me stuff that's actual. Why waste my time? Who do you think you are? So that's it.
I love it. I love it. I love the passion. I love the fire.
They didn't make a prediction.
They didn't. They didn't. And
they gave me the Vegas thing. I know what the hell the Vegas thing is.
We have seen them around about 8 games for the Bears, and I think that that's kind of where I've seen ESPN stay with different projections and stuff like that. I don't see the Bears taking all the pieces you added. You were a 7-win team last year. You're basically saying the Bears don't get better this year.
That's exactly what they're saying. Right. They're saying that Caleb Williams is not a better quarterback than Justin Fields. That's also what they'd be saying.
Right.
And the Keenan Allen addition, the Rome Odunze addition, the Caleb Williams addition, the fact that you have changed out some problems at the center position, you added a veteran safety, you re-signed your corner, your defensive backfield is intact with Bidard back there. Your linebackers will benefit by how good or not good the defensive line is. You expect steps from Dexter and Pickens. I don't know what they're going to do at the left defensive end for some reason or another.
Seems like Unique may be on the comeback train.
Ryan Poles is the only guy in the world that doesn't believe you need to be able to put pressure off that left side. I don't know why.
he likes the second guy, doesn't he? Yeah. He goes against DeMarcus Walker, Unique Ngakoue. He likes the other guy. I think what's interesting, and let me ask
it's the only weakness probably on it. You thought the punting position was more important than the left defensive end position. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess in theory you did address it. You went and got Austin Booker, who I thought was a really good addition in the draft. I'm probably a little bit higher on him than most, but you know, I mean, in less than 500 snaps, he was able to get 9 sacks.
He's a fifth rounder.
But I thought
fifth rounder.
Thought he could have definitely gone in the fourth. Thought he could have gone a little bit higher. Bears end up getting him in the fifth. I thought that was a great get for him.
They traded a fourth rounder.
Traded a fourth in the future.
For a fifth round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, if he can develop as a player, you never know. I think Mark Anderson came in and had 12 sacks.
Yeah. Right?
So maybe he can come in and have an impact. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they did address it, but
it's not how you would have done
confidence. Isn't high in the Yurkovich camp.
I think what's so interesting about this time of year, Yurk, is that you go Monday through Friday, you talk about ESPN putting out their power index without a real projection.
Right.
And yet all throughout the week, we get the Bears have done so much. Yesterday, I did a article. ESPN believes the Chicago Bears have improved the most throughout the offseason. There is a lot of belief around ESPN that the Bears have the best wide receiver crew, the best DB crew, the best linebacking crew. And then I'm just trying to figure out where the correlation happens at. And I'm seeing this throughout. It's not just ESPN. All PFF right, well, does it yesterday. Yeah. All of these guys do it, where you sit there and you look at it. It's like, all I see is your praise. And then when you talk about the actual play on the field, 8-win team.
Our general manager kind of does things backwards, too, as far as like he builds his team not from the lines out. He builds his teams from the periphery.
Right.
And then pays attention to the lines last.
Right.
So he does kind of do it backwards, right?
I agree with that.
So if there's any weakness, there'd be weakness. The weakest part of your football team going into the year, your whole football team, is your defensive line.
Yeah.
With hope that Pickens steps up. With hope that Dexter, and I think Dexter will step up.
Yes.
So going into the season, it's one of your weakest areas on your football team. Maybe 5 games in, it's not the weakest area of your football team.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, offensively, you got a tight end. So you got 2 tight ends now, right? Nobody cares about running backs. We won't even rank them. They're like punters and kickers. Nobody really cares about them. And you addressed it for some crazy reason. You went and addressed it anyway. So, okay, we're going to go do that. You got 2 journeymen to come in here and play center for you.
Right.
Somebody you like, journeymen. Guys, and you wasted a fifth round draft choice on one of these journeymen.
Yeah.
So hopefully they come in and they do something. But because you weren't overly confident in what you just did with Bates, you went and got another guy. Right? So you build from the back to the front is the polar opposite of how Detroit built.
Right. Detroit addressed the lines first. Still is addressing the line.
Lines. Yeah. Yes. That's what they did. And what were they? Then they built the right way. They built. Then they hit on Amara St. Brown. That's how they built. That's why they ended up playing the NFC Championship game last year.
Right.
So our guy's doing it differently. And I'm not saying as a general manager, there's only one way to get something done. But he certainly went about the business of doing it a different way.
Is there a debate to be said that a lot of the teams that we have recently seen in the Super Bowl, I'm not saying that this is the way that I would like to see it built. I agree with you. You build through the trenches. You don't have to worry about the trenches. But we've seen the Cincinnati Bengals make a Super Bowl where they address the wide receiver position before they address the tackles. Now, and you've got no quarterback.
And their quarterback paid the ultimate price.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've seen Kansas City
made an investment in offensive linemen. And then all of a sudden they didn't like the offensive lineman. They made the investment.
Right. Yes, because they underperformed basically So. Yeah, they did try to go out and make payments on, or make it go get a guy, try and find pieces to fit there, but it didn't work out for
them. I always say you invest in your tackles, and then you take guys that failed to tackle and you move them to guard.
Yeah.
So my offensive line would be 6'5 across the front. And that's what I would have. And then I'd go find you failed a tackle. Good. Come over here. I want you to play guard. Because you're protected on both sides.
Yeah.
You can't play tackle. I don't mind. I put you at guard. You could probably play guard.
Right.
You know.
Because you had the intangibles to play tackle.
So that's not a problem. I just move them inside. I take former defensive linemen that aren't good enough to play defensive line but got great feet and could use their hands well. And then I convert them over. Projects. That's what you have the practice squad for.
Yeah.
If I have a practice squad, I'm converting people on my practice squad. You may not be able to play this position, but you know what? Giving you a chance to play a position you're athletic enough to play that position, you'll really be athletic enough to play that position.
Right.
So, you know, to convert them.
Could be able to make some changes there. Yeah, absolutely.
And listen, there's more than one ways to get things done. So just because Ryan Poles has chosen to do it this way doesn't make him wrong.
Right.
Just means he's doing it a different way, and we'll see if we can get to the same result.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily criticizing Ryan Poles. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just telling you that there's ways to get things done and there's ways to do things, and he's choosing it to do it a specific way. And it, common sense wise, it might be just, okay, he had all these draft choices. Where was the strength of these individual drafts? Okay, this is where they're at. What's the strength of free agency? This is where it's at. So I may want to do it this way. So I'll acknowledge the fact that he may look at it and say, I want to do it this way, but I can't.
Right.
I can't do it this way because of what the strength in the draft and free agency and where it's at. I'm going to have to do this, and I'm going to have to flip this team a different way. So I'll give him recognition that that might have happened to him. He might have looked at the talent that was out there and said, I can't do it this way. I got to do it this way.
You know, I think also, right, when I look at the previous off seasons leading up to this one, you've seen a lot of teams. Last year you saw a lot of teams overpay for the tackle position. Almost all of the tackles were horrible. Mike McGlinchey was awful last year. Orlando Brown Jr. Awful last season.
Not Orlando Bloom. He's an actor.
I was thinking Orlando Pace. Who's Orlando Pace?
Orlando Pace used to play with the Rams.
Orlando Pace with the Rams. Okay, I'm sitting here. I'm like, I know there's an Orlando Pace. Yes, yes.
Finished up with the Bears.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. I apologize for that. No disrespect. But no, I just like. A lot of the people who have been invested in over the last couple of off seasons, we've gotten into the season and going, geez, good job not going there.
Yeah.
So maybe his evaluation process has been, yeah, I would love to go get these guys, but these guys suck. And that's what we keep getting that comes back to us.
They're on a downturn. You know what I'm saying? They've reached their apex. They're on the way down. I don't want to be getting guys and paying guys and rewarding guys on the way down.
Yeah.
Not rewarding them for what they did in their first 6 years because you're going to get them 7th, 8th, 9th year and you don't want to reward these.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it, but that's the point. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily a criticism. Just, okay, we're recognizing the way you've done it.
Right.
It's a little bit different. It might still be successful and we'll see.
What's the biggest thing you need to see for the Bears to get to your win projection this season?
Development of Dexter and Pickens in the middle. Because if those two guys can develop, then you've solidified your defensive line. You've got a veteran then presence also behind them. Guys in the rotation that'll be able to make things happen. And Montez Sweat to do what he does. And really, that's defensively. That's my number one thing defensively.
Right.
It's all about the quarterback position.
100%.
It's not about Swift.
Have you seen these?
None of these wide receivers going to matter. If the quarterback can't get him the ball, none of these wide receivers are going to matter.
Yeah.
You can have the greatest wide receivers in the world, and if you can't get them the football, it's not going to matter. So it's on offense, it's the development of Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And on defense, it's the young defensive tackles that have got to step up and take that next.
Have you seen these lists where that's like they give all these reasons why the Bears are going to be an eight-win team or still a struggling team and all that, and then they go, but if Caleb Williams develops, you know, all of this is out the window. It's like, wait a minute. What kind of an out is that?
And I get the number at 8.5. It's a number just based on the fact that if you go back historically and look at what rookie quarterbacks have been able to do,
yeah,
they haven't, as a whole, been able to do it as a rookie. I get that.
Andrew Luck and RG3, one of the few. Yeah.
Brock Purdy went 5-1 in his rookie year. So, they're looking at historical, empirical evidence of what is and what isn't. But I've also got to see what the rest of the team looks like and what they can do. Even Bajent went 2-2.
Yeah.
Even Bajent went 2-2. And he wasn't a world beater by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, you're riling him up.
He just came in. Well, it doesn't matter. He wasn't a world beater.
Yeah.
All he did was go out there and played fundamentally sound.
Yes.
He distributed the football, and the Bears found a way to win two games. Fine.
And they ran the football phenomenally in one of those. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Bears, one of the few teams to run more than 50% of the time last year.
That will not happen this year. I guarantee that. I mean, Shane Waldron will.
But how far will the shift go? So how far is it? Say you got 1,100 plays in 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 50-50, you're 550-550.
Right.
So how far will they go to the other side?
Give me – I think you're talking about a 65-35 split past the run.
I think they go a lot
the other direction.
65-35 in the NFL. I don't think you had one team that was 65-35
last year. I think that was Seattle's problem last year, wasn't it?
No, Washington passed the ball 612 times, if I had to remember. I don't think it's 65. You're out of whack if you're 62-38. You're out of whack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the ideal situation you'd be is 55-45,
yes,
or 57-43. That's ideal. And for the Bears, that would be a real shift in philosophy. And with Getsy gone and with this guy here, that might happen. But I'm looking at 57-43, 56-44.
Right.
And I think that's them making a commitment to the run. I think then you're looking at 56, boom, boom. You're looking probably at 580 pass attempts.
Right.
Okay, I can live with
that. It's not bad for a rookie. You're committing to the pass for a rookie.
And I'm hoping to see that 66.6% completion percentage, 2 of 3. I'm not looking for screens. I'm looking for plays going downfield, impactful plays. You throw a screen. I'm not against any screens, but screen for the sake of screens. You know, screens because I've got to simplify my game plan because I got a quarterback that can't handle it. Them are going to be bad signs.
Yeah.
Is not going to be good signs.
And I think
the quarterbacking from the first two games to the last two games, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a much better quarterback in his final two games than he will be in his first.
Oh, 100%. I love how, and I think this is the part that excites me coming into this season, is I love how the schedule set up for this young man. I think that you've got 9 games where, hey, listen, this is not the most difficult schedule in the world. There's still NFL teams. There's a couple of good defenses on there that are going to test you. Houston's going to test you.
San Francisco's
going to test you. I think the Rams, maybe.
Not with Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald is not there. So maybe not. But
the Rams will test your defense.
Yes. Yes.
With Puka and with Cooper.
Yeah.
Corey Cooper.
But I think that you have the perfect mix of like, hey, you saw how they attacked you. Okay, teams are going to do this to you. Now we got a couple of teams where you can get back on the horse here and let's figure it out. I think that allows Caleb, by the time we get to our division games, to have a good footing, I would hope, in the NFL at that point.
Well, you also have to make hay in those games too. That's where you got to win yourself a ton of ball games, because you got 6 against your division.
You got to find a way to win at least 6.
You got to – oh, yeah. You've got to make hay early, and you got to build your confidence early, because they will if they get – I don't know, the first 9 games. Say they go 7-2. They're a paper champion, you know.
They
really haven't done anything.
And
especially if your losses come to Houston and they come to Frisco.
Yeah.
And then you're
sitting there looking at the schedule going, 7-2, but
it would be false
in
that regard. The absolute minimum would be 5 wins. The absolute minimum after 9 games is 5. It's 5-4. If it's not 5-4, then things are gone. They've gone wrong. Things have gone wrong.
Yes.
So hopefully they'll be prepared this year to start the season. The 0-4 start absolutely killed this team last year. So hopefully they take training camp serious, and hopefully they practice. No gifts.
Just give me players playing in preseason. There's no way we can not see that this year, right?
All these guys don't have to play in Indianapolis. Why? You won 3 games the year before. Why do your players not have to play? I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little bit ridiculous.
That is. So we'll
see what kind of attitude they take into it. I swear to God, I'm telling you right now.
It'll be the last training camp you go to?
Yeah, it's going to be one practice.
Yeah.
And I will call off sick every day we've got a remote up there. I will call in. I'll take a personal day. I swear to God, if I go to that first practice, and better be that strenuous one that they talk about.
Yeah.
And if I look at that practice and I see the same crap I saw last year, I do the show there on the blacktop. Real comfortable. We appreciate putting us on 95 degree days out on the blacktop.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful the way you take care of us.
It was warm, are you saying? Are you saying it was a little warm?
Absolutely. I will call off sick every other time. They want to go out there, I will call in sick. I'm not going up there to watch crap, and I'm not going out there to toast on 95-degree blacktop. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Breaking news. That's your goat will not cook.
Tired of that.
Oh, it was interesting last year. You and J-Mac, we got to get you and J-Mac on a podcast together day that they run that practice.
Well, because I was just there. I'm like, what in the hell is this? I mean, I know I played a long time ago, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah.
I played a long time ago. But what is this shit? I don't want to say. Are we all right?
You're good. Yeah.
What is this shit?
Yeah.
I go, is this how they're preparing guys for a season right here? This is it? This is the hardest practice they're going to have? Wow.
And I think that what sucks about it
is. I walked back to the blacktop.
I remember.
Fortunately, there was a car there, and I'd be able to turn the air conditioning on. Before I went and baked in the hot sun.
Which y'all don't know is I saw Yerk standing there, and it was like probably halfway through practice, and he goes, all right, kid. And I'm like, you out of here, Yerk? He's like, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
And he just left. We didn't see him for a while.
It was terrible.
It was.
You know, Tommy played before I did. Thayer did.
Yeah.
Even you asked Waddle, but Thayer did it too. Thayer just looked at it. I go, Tommy, what is this? Well, you know, he trimmed it, but he couldn't explain it away either.
Right.
He said, yeah, it don't make sense. Now, the way that they used to practice when Ditka beat the living hell out of them, that's not the way to do it either.
No.
I'm not asking anybody to get the crap beat out of them, because you want to be able to feel physically strong all year, and you don't want to go into the first game having just gone through the ringer in training camp because you got a coach that's a little bit too hell-bent for election, too ballistic, and just too – you don't want that either.
Yeah.
You know, there's a delicate balance there. But they went so far. The pendulum had swung so far to the other side that I was just like, this ain't preparing anybody
for anything. My biggest wonder is because remember the first year that Flus got here, we were getting fined. We got to the point where we got a fine from – I don't know if it was from the NFL or the NFLPA, one of them. And it was because they were practicing way too aggressively.
Well, not during training camp. It was OTAs.
It was OTAs. Yeah. It was OTAs.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was kind of a like, hey, we can't get fined. You can't do that. Let's take this back the other way.
I'm going to tell you why. Because training camp, you can't mess with and you can't regulate. You can regulate off days.
Right.
Players got off days. You play a game, there's an off day. Tuesdays, you got an off day. One day a week, it's off. There's no arguing against that, but they can't tell a team how hard they can practice. Now, they don't go 2 days anymore.
Right.
They have one practice. They've got to walk through. Nobody is being overtaxed. So when you do get the opportunity to put the pads on, go practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying drag guys to the ground, but you know, at some point you're going to have to tackle somebody in training camp. You can't just hit the popsicle sled and think the popsicle sled is going to take the place of actually bringing somebody down to the ground. It doesn't work.
Last year was and I commented on this on the pod last year too. Last year was, it was a much, I've been to training camp probably the last 3 years. It was the weakest practice I've seen. I've been to training camp last year of Nagy and every year since then. It's mm-hmm. the weakest practice I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And how they were going off the first year of Flus, people were sprinting on and off the field. Yeah. We gotta be in shape. And it showed when we got to the games. Yeah, we didn't win a ton of games, but we were never getting outrun. We were never out of shape. We got to the first game of last season. It was like, Jesus, like, did you guys know there was a football game today? Were you ready for this? Yeah. So
well, they took the Indianapolis game off because they had three great days of practice.
Yeah.
And 18 guys don't have to play. What? Come on.
That was
what
interesting.
What joke is that?
That was interesting.
Are you crapping me?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And they crapped
Boers and McNeil. Who are you crapping? That's exactly it. Who are you crapping?
And they crapped the first four games of the season.
Yeah. Lost. And then the worst one was the Denver.
The Denver loss, the last one, when you had the lead.
Then you lose the Denver game too. I mean, they're ready to take Sean Payton and get him out of town too.
Yeah, you save Sean Payton's job. Yeah,
exactly. And then all of a sudden they put it together out there for a little while to make them look like they knew what they were doing.
If you need your job saved, play the 2023 Chicago Bears. Well, they may oblige.
Hopefully that's going to change this year.
That's the goal, Yerk. That is the goal. Before we get out of here, we haven't talked to you since last week. How'd you shoot over Memorial Day?
Oh, I played twice. Memorial Day, I played Glenn Woody on Monday. I shot 84, 41, 43.
Okay.
It's one of my better rounds.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
And 2 days before that, I believe I shot 92. And when I was up in Wisconsin, I shot 96 at Whistling Straits.
Still better than me.
Yeah.
Still better than me. You know
what? The more you play, the better you feel.
Yeah.
I got a little swing thing going right now where I'm coming through. I interviewed John Daly at Midlothian Country Club.
Oh.
He gave me some tips that I'm going to take from here to Brain where I heard it. And I'm going to try to implement them.
Well, John Daly interview, John Daly,
yeah.
Oh, I'm mad at that.
We spent about 45 minutes to an hour together just talking about some stuff. So.
Oh. Yeah, good times. You're asking all the tips. You're like, yeah, it's an interview, but I need help with this part of the swing.
Well, I just gave him something in general.
Yeah.
In general. You know, and it might have been a question from the audience. And he said, the one thing amateurs don't do is they don't take enough club. They don't get the ball to the green. They don't get it to the hole.
Right.
So if you're 135 and you go to your driving range and you hit a 9-iron, your first one, you bust 135. And the next 9-9-irons, you're shanking this and that. And you're hitting 110 and 100 this. He goes, most amateur players don't get the ball to the hole.
Right.
Right?
So club up.
Yeah, club up and take a three-quarter swing.
Yeah.
He goes, you'll have much better contact. You'll get it. He goes, if I see an amateur player that's in the back of the green or over the green, I'm like, thank God. At least he's got to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
That having a little bit too much club is probably better off than having not enough club.
Because you're not sitting here. Barely enough. You're not sitting here hitting it to the high heavens.
Ah. Yeah. Sometimes you want to take the front traps out of play.
Yeah.
Take them out of play.
Yeah. They loved the golf talk last week. A couple comments in the YouTube.
Not surprised.
I could hear your talk golf all day.
Listen, I like the game of golf.
I love it.
I know what I am. You know, I had to post my 84.
You put that one on the gram?
Oh, you got.
No, you threw that one on the gram?
No, CDGA. Right there. 14-6, right?
Oh.
14-6. All my scores. This is my CDGA.
Everything's green.
Right.
Oh, so this shit's going away.
Yeah, it's disappearing. And the 14-6 is in green, too.
Yeah, the 14-6 is green. Right. Everything was green.
But I've been as low as a 12.0 2 years ago in August at the end of the golf season when I was playing very well. I shot an 80 and an 83, and my handicap was higher, and it gave me a super adjustment because I shot the 80. Now, you birdie four holes, right? I birdied four holes. When you birdie four holes, that doesn't happen. It's the most amount of birdies I've ever had since 1997 when I had five birdies in a thing. I played the last five rounds. I haven't had a birdie. So I shot 83 without a birdie.
A lot of par.
And I had a snowman, a seven on the card when I shot my 83.
Ooh.
So a triple bogey seven to start off the 10th, and slowly but surely I recovered. But no, I mean, I like playing golf. I know what kind of golfer I am. I know what my strengths are, and I know what my weaknesses are. So I can chip now, and I can putt. I can chip and putt. So I can get off the tee most of the time. And my second shot and my ball striking with my irons is a weakness right now that I'm working on. Ball positioning, hands in front, lock that left wrist, come back through. See, I always want to do this. It's terrible. If you're going through the golf swing like this, it's terrible. Got to be like this. And if you can lock that into place and get to the ball like that, you're going to be in pretty good shape. Yeah. I don't. And then I come over the top. Here's my right, you go back here. I'm working on dropping into the slot and bringing it through.
Yeah.
This is me back here. It's like Paul Bunyan. Here I go. So the body start, the movement should start with the lower body, with the hands dropping. Here's the good kid.
boom, across the line, chopping. I cast the club. I'm coming through at a weird angle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No power on the swing. I meant little puff balls out to the right. So I'm trying to fix that. And, you know, I'm barrel chested to begin with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So
good, great for football. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's here and then down. Here and then down. Here, down. Inside the line. Inside the line. So that's what I'm working on.
This kid's got it.
Well, I don't got it yet. It's a work in progress.
But you know how to attack it. I know you'll have it.
Yeah, I've been attacking it for the better part of 40 years, man. Better part of 40 years. I still ain't figured it out.
But you know what, good kid?
It's a beautiful game.
You only lose if you give up.
Yeah.
In theory.
Well, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to Scotland next year. I got
eight
rounds.
Playing the real greens.
Walking them all.
Woo!
So I'm telling you.
Are you you prepping yourself now?
I'm
you
in shape, yeah. Remember, circle is a shape.
That might –
Circles.
How much does, because see, my problem is here. How much does gut affect?
It hurts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
If I could drop 45 pounds, I'd be a much better.
All right. That's
why they have room, but you know, my moves. You
yeah.
Know, I'm trying to stay inside. And, you know, my arms got to go around. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Right
yeah.
here. Oh,
yeah.
Whoa,
yeah. Whoa, you know. You're getting kind of a.
I gotta go.
Appreciate you guys tuning in. Show and love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. For the good kid, Johnny Yerkovich, your boy, Pat the Designer. Back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. No claw this week. Peace.